Jay Kahn joins us now to talk Stanley Cup Final, Hurricanes, Golden Knights. He joins us from Toronto, Canada, the T-Dot, the Six, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow Jake on Twitter, Jahan4, that's H-A-H-N, co-host of The Point and the Fantasy Hockey Show on SiriusXM NHL. Jake, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great. We're rooting for Ojai Aliassime here north of the border. Good chance for him, obviously, with some big names not factoring into this this slam here. So it's kind of wide open. You read off all the names there. I could kind of buy into any of those guys winning the French Open here, Gil. So I'm looking forward to seeing what the rest of this week brings there.
Yeah, it's been such an awesome tournament. Stanley Cup Final begins tonight at Carolina. I was sort of framing it earlier, and I've been framing it as, you have this team, Carolina, they're 12-1 in this playoff. Only the longest, again, the best 16-win format run to the cup, the Edmonton Oilers of 1988, 16-2. So you got that history there chasing. Then you got the Golden Knights, are kind of the opposite, right? They didn't even win 40 games in the regular season. Here they are in their third final in 9 seasons of history. Tonight, the Hurricanes are a -150 favorite. Let's start with the game tonight before we sort of break down Let's break down the entire series. Who do you feel? I mean, do you feel that the Hurricanes are the justified favorite here?
I do, and I understand why people are going to make the case for this to be maybe close pricer to a pick'em, or I've honestly heard the opinion from people that I very much trust that they think Vegas should actually be the favorite in this series as well. So I'm hearing varying opinions, guys, but I've been Canes from the get-go. I love this Canes team. I really like the way that they play, and some of the holes that they've had in previous years that have held them back, where they've lost conference finals. Now, ultimately, they reached their first Stanley Cup final with this iteration of the Hurricanes. Depth scoring, they've solved that. They really haven't even had a great playoff run from their top guys, which is kind of interesting with only one loss. The defense is strong. They're getting goaltending. So all those things that I felt held the Canes back in previous years, they fixed those issues. This just feels like such a cohesive unit, Gil. This is one of the most dominant runs I think I can remember to a cup final. Now that we look back at it, the big picture, one loss, and it was a loss after 11 days off between games. And they didn't look like themselves at all in that game. They just looked completely lost. The Habs took advantage, and other than that, it's been completely dominant. So I like the Canes. I think they're justified favorites, especially with home ice. I do have respect for Vegas and how they got here, sweeping the Colorado Avalanche. No easy task. They do come in great form, and I think it sets up a heck of a cup final. But if you ask me for a pick, I'm sticking with the Canes. I'd go Canes in 6 games in this series against Vegas.
Canes in 6 is a +450 proposition. Series total game 6 +210, 6 games either way is +210, but the Canes to win it in 6 +450. And you're right, look, we're showing -155 on the series for the Canes as the favorite here, with the Golden Knights +130 on the comeback. I'm seeing the Canes as low as -146 in some spots. And I framed it the way I framed it, and then I asked the question that doesn't make any sense, which is, do you think they should be the justified favorite? But I heard exactly what you did, which is some folks are like, I don't get it. I think the Knights should be the favorite.
It feels NBA Finals-esque to me a little bit, too. Of like, this is the Western Conference Spurs, Carolina Hurricanes, and then you've got this hot VGK team, the hot Knicks team, that has driven down this price, and I think there's some value on the favorite now. Is that how you would put it, Jake?
I think you're bang on with that, Kelly. Really, that's how I view it. Obviously, I'm more in the weeds here with the NHL, but I have been following the NBA, and I'm actually very excited for that NBA Finals and to see what we get, because you get the Spurs team that, and nobody's really surprised that they're there. We kind of thought, okay, one of them or OKC would be there, and the Knicks just come in rolling teams. And I'm thinking, is that just because they played in the East, or are they actually that good, and can they give the Spurs a great series? So I think that's how a lot of people are looking at this one. I believe Carolina is the better team. That doesn't mean they can't lose this series, and Vegas can't find ways to win. They just beat Colorado in 4 games, and Colorado looked unbeatable all season long. So Vegas, they're well coached. They seem to have a good thing going on. They're getting good goaltending. There's certainly ways that they can frustrate Carolina in this series, and I can't wait to find out. But I'm going to stick with the Canes. They've been great to me throughout the playoffs so far, only losing one game and winning a lot of those games in very dominant fashion, guys.
Still a little Brett Musburger NFL Today thing. Power play advantage goes to whom?
Power play advantage, I would have to give this to the Vegas Golden Knights. Watching the Canes power play throughout the course of the postseason so far has left me frustrated. There was a 5-on-3 that stood out in that Montreal series. Obviously, it didn't matter. They won the series quite easily. And I thought, oh boy, what are you guys doing here? So I think, look, Obviously, special teams are going to play a huge factor here, but I love what Vegas has done with their power play. Pavel Dorofeev is lethal on one side. Mitch Marner facilitating the puck. Jack Eichel kind of doing a little bit of everything. Mark Stone planted in front of the net. I would take Vegas's power play right now.
Netminder advantage.
This is a tough one, guys, because part of me doesn't trust Frederik Andersen, but the numbers are there, and he has been really solid. Now, they dipped a little bit in the conference final, but Carolina was so dominant that, again, it didn't really seem to matter. I'm going to go with Frederik Andersen here, but I don't feel too confident with it. It feels like the bubble could burst at any moment for him, but I'm going to lean to Andersen over Hart in this series.
Remember, Kelly, you mind the net in hockey, you keep the goal in soccer. Always remember these. Okay, Conn Smythe. You have a bet there.
So this is a good one as well, guys. Obviously on Vegas, it feels like it's shortened down a little bit. Mitch Marner is going to get a lot of the love, justifiably so, for what he's done on the Vegas side. But if Vegas wins, keep an eye on Jack Eichel. The point total is there. I think he could have a big conference final in a big cup final, and you're getting a really nice number on Jack Eichel, a player of his talent. So if you're looking to jump in now, I think Eichel would be the play instead of, you know, paying a bad price on Mitch Marner. And on the Carolina side, give me Taylor Hall, part of that Hall, Blake, Stankoven line, someone to step up, maybe score the majority of the goals in the cup final, and you're still getting a pretty decent price on Taylor Hall. So Hall on the Canes, Eichel on the Vegas Golden Knights side, if you're looking to jump in pre-cup final.
Okay, what I think was interesting about that whole thing is he's on the Hurricanes. Jake, you're on the Hurricanes, but I think if you were a Vegas Golden Knight fan or backer listening to that, there was enough waver in you for them to feel good about it. That pretty much describe it, I think.
I got to have respect for what Vegas has done to get here. As much as I love this Canes team, they're full marks for getting to where they've gotten to. And they do scare me if I'm a Canes fan.
Taylor Hall, by the way, 7-1 to win the Conn Smythe. Thank you, Jake. Appreciate it. You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. Visa Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with Visa Pro. Mark Borchard joins us, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. He's Base Winner, at Base Winner, basewinner.com. Bet US, baseball betting show. He joins us now from an undisclosed location somewhere in the desert, where he wants to talk some divisions with us. How you doing, Mark?
Gil, I'm doing good. I can barely hear you, but I did hear you say I want to talk about the division, and I definitely want to talk about the divisions, because there's a lot of, like, really, for me at least, really good value.
All right. Well, the floor is yours. What do you got? We may jump on these.
Well, you know what? I'll just go down division by division, because there's a lot of good ones. So the first one's the Yankees, and they're minus, I almost said the Yankees, but the Yankees, they're minus 220. I have them with an 82% chance to win that division. The other one I like is I like a lot of these things. So the Mariners are minus 170. I think that they're about 72% to win that division. And then the Brewers, that might be my favorite one, Gil. The Brewers I have winning that division 82% of the time. They're minus 165. So those are really good ones. And then there's a market that's kind of fun. And if you model this stuff, you can model what the number one seeds are. And so for the National League, the Brewers are plus 900 to be the number one seed. And but based on my simulations, I think they should be plus 400. But the one that I thought was really interesting was Philly. Philly is 40-1, and I think they should be like more like 13-1. Yeah. So there's a bunch of plays out there. I don't remember seeing this much value in the division markets. And then if you go in and the Brewers one is like, if you go in and the Cubs are 5.5 back, they're kind of like their main competition. All the components lead to except for the offense. Now the Cubs are like fifth offense and the Brewers are like 9, but the pitching is really, starkly favoring the Brewers. So that's probably my favorite play of all of those plays I just gave out, is the Brewers to win that division.
I'm going to guess that the 3.5 minutes that Mark Borchard just had right there, or the 3 minutes, probably produced more bets in as many different directions right there as any 3 minutes you'll hear today. That's awesome. I kind of like all of them. I like the Yankees. I like the Mariners. I like the Brewers to win that division, though I do like the Cubs this month. And the Brewers' number one seed, again, the Dodgers loom. But remember, the Brewers had the best record last year, right, over the Dodgers. So, I mean, you don't have to look far to see that it can happen. 9-1, Mark has it at 4-1. About, by the way, did you model the month of June by any chance?
I did. I did. My teams were Cleveland, your favorite. But that wasn't my number one, though. Philly is probably my number one team. And then Cleveland and then the Yankees. They all showed value on the Sims. Yeah. Those are the three teams that showed the value.
I had the Yankees as my two. Yeah, I had the Yankees as my two. Have you a model? I'm going to put you on the spot here because a bet that I am thinking of making. I alluded to this yesterday is worst record in Major League Baseball. Right now, if you look at the standings, it is a logjam at the bottom of the Major League standings. You have at, I'll get these right here. I'll just call it up. This is right now. You have the Colorado Rockies 23-38, the LA Angels 23-38. The Detroit Tigers 23-38, and then a half game better, the Kansas City Royals 23-37, and the San Francisco Giants 23-37. You know what I'm thinking about? The Giants are the third shot at a distant 14-1. Colorado and the Angels are the short shots. Who do you see value on there?
I can give you top five percentages because that'll put the Giants there, but it's really heavily weighted to those really crappy teams. So I got 46% Rockies have the worst record, 21% Angels, 11% Royals, 10.55, so another 11% Tigers, and then you could say the Giants are 6%. So whatever that comes out to on the money line, which I don't think it's as good for your bet. But are the probabilities
that. But let me ask you about that market. Unlike the other ones, which, you know, clear path to what you're talking about. In this one, there's the trade deadline, right? And there's the notion of buyers and sellers. Your model doesn't factor that in, I'm guessing.
Yeah, exactly. I'm glad you brought that up because I can't predict the future on right. What these teams are going to do. I mean, you could guess a little bit, but then you're going to be guessing. And I'd rather have it like, hey, this is what, based on these components of the team, how they're set up right now. And then you can take a look at those probabilities and say, well, like what you're doing, you're like, well, hey, the Giants are going to unload. They're not going to have their three best hitters or whatever they're doing. And that makes a huge difference in it. So if it's close, then it would put it over there. And I think it is pretty close from a probability standpoint. So,
yeah, cause I would
agree with you on that.
Yeah. Cause I would, if all rosters stayed the same throughout a season, I would agree with your numbers, but they have to unload all of these players. And I mean, before the draft, not even the trade deadline. So, because I
who
think
do you think they're going to get rid of? I hate to put you on the spot, but who do you think they're going to get rid of? Webb and Devers?
I don't know about Webb, but I think, first of all, Adamas, first taker. Adamas, see you later. Chapman is on the block. I think if they got a good enough offer for Devers, I think he'd go. I don't want them to get rid of Arias or Lee, but you know what? Everybody's available. Everybody's available for the right price. It's a complete fire sale. It's a complete, again, we were just talking with Drew about football. There's a, you know, if everything goes right, you know, right for you, if everything goes bad. I always say this about baseball in 162 games. There is a season that breaks everything your way. It's a best part of the spectrum. Then there's a season where everything goes against you and there's everything in between. The Giants are absolutely that. Everything they've touched, what's the opposite of gold? Whatever your word is, right? That's what's happened with them. And so they just, by the way, Buster Posey, he has not gotten criticism yet. Oh, it's coming if this continues, right? Like they've got to really revamp and start from scratch. So that's to me.
I think they get some kind of cushion, maybe like a year or two cushion, and then they'll get on it. But I guess my number 6%, so that's like 15-1. And then, if you put that in there, that should give you value on that play. That's a decent look, Gil.
Okay. What'd you end up with today?
Well, today, speaking of the Brewers and the Yankees, I'm going to put them in a parlay, Gil, your favorite, the base winner parlay. But you know, it's fitting because you got base winner BASS before me, and then you got base winner. So you have your own version of a base winner parlay. But I've got the Yankees. Just, God, the components of this team are so good. Best hitting team in baseball. And then this is controversial because I know you don't like the Yankees bullpen. I don't hate it. I mean, I don't love them, but they're 11th in baseball. And then Schlittler's just been tremendous. All the granular numbers are on his side. And you want to talk about granular numbers, Gil. Kyle Harrison, the same thing. And then one of the things that we have going, the Brewers and the Giants, is we have a big bullpen edge as well in that game. So I think that parlaying those two, getting even money, I think that's a good look on that.
Brewers, Yankees, even money parlay. Anything straightforward side you want to share with us?
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Diamondbacks here. And speaking of Diamondbacks, they're good to make the playoffs. I have them at 54%, and you're still getting plus money in there. But specifically today, you know, the Dodgers, if you were to bet against the Dodgers on the road, just blanket betting, we always love to blanket bet, Gil. If you were just to bet the Dodgers on the road starting in 2025, you'd be up 3.5%, which is decent in the betting world. But today, I've got the game priced at minus 141. I like this D-backs offense versus left-handed pitching. In fact, I like them so much, they're rated number 2 in my ratings versus left-handed pitching. And that starts off with Marte and Carroll there. You know, I've got them in a side bet to each get a hit, and that's minus 140, and it should be like minus 186. So there's a lot of bets here, Gil.
Wow.
I've got Kelly writing down fastly. But so those are my plays.
That's fantastic. Mark Borchard, everybody. I don't even know if I said his name. I just said base winner the whole time. Mark Borchard. I like when he catches himself. He goes, we all like blanket bets.
That was great. That was a great line.
Thank you, Mark. Appreciate it.
My pleasure, Gil.
Coming back on a numbers game. Paul Carr joins us, ladies and gentlemen. From True Media Networks, you can follow him on Twitter at Paul Carr, C-A-R-R. There are 12, count them, 12 groups in the World Cup of 2026. And we really, before we talk about anything else, Paul, because we're going to do the first six of these groups today, A, B, C, D, E, and F. We're going to do the next six on Friday. Before we get to each of your picks in groups A through F, Paul, let us discuss, first of all, good morning to you, sir. How are you?
Yeah. Hello, I'm well. Good morning.
Paul quipped off air. He goes, why did you read all those halftime scores from those basketball games? Yeah, from 1999. Full 80 to 67, 78 to 77. Unbelievable. Give us a sense of the format, which is just bananas this year, where, if I'm not mistaken, 8 of 12 third-place teams advance.
Correct. Yeah, this is a bad format from a competitive standpoint. 48 teams, 12 groups of four, top two in each group advance, plus 8 of 12 third place teams. So we're playing, 72 group games to eliminate a third of the field. 72 group games to get rid of 16 teams. It's not great. And those third place teams advance, you're comparing them to each other. So if you play in group A, you don't know what you have to do to be one of the best third place teams. You have a general sense.
That's right.
But if you're in group K, you're playing the last day, you know exactly what you have to do. So that's unfair just from a competitive standpoint. And there's a decent chance we see a team or two settle for a draw when they're in one of those later groups, because they know that's all they have to do to get through.
That is an even extra layer that I hadn't thought of. That makes
it's
it
really
just,
bad.
It's really bad. And it makes for, as we go through these now, let's start with group A. This the translation of this is, do you have any like team to advance bets, or are you steered clear of all those?
I think I have one. I think I gave out Panama on the show, like plus 220 or so. But yeah, there's groups where all four teams are favored to advance. Like the worst one is minus 110 because it's a balanced group and just that's what it is. Or there's lots of groups where I like the third best team, like a Senegal, but there's still minus 230 to go through or something like that. So I don't have as many of those plays as I would have in a normal, better formatted tournament. So yeah, I had to look some different places for this one.
All right, let's start with group A. This is the Mexico group, if you will. These, again, the World Cup 2026 hosted in Mexico, in the United States, in Canada, Mexico on their home soil here. They are with South Africa, South Korea, and Czechia in their group. I would imagine Mexico is the favorite. Yes, they are minus 110. Yeah. And just the buzz, I'm hearing a little South Korea love from some folks. How do you feel about this group?
I do. I like South Korea. I like Czechia. I played South Korea a while back. Czechia's odds were like plus 240 or something to win the group not too long ago, and they've jumped up to plus 330. So I do like the plus 330 price on Czechia. They have Patrick Schick, who led Euros in scoring a couple tournaments ago. So they have a good forward, which not every team does. Pavel Schultz is a midfielder, plays for Lyon in France, maybe coming to the Premier League this summer. Just good young midfielder who can really make them go. So at that price, price, I like them. You know, Mexico is the best team, highest ceiling in this group, but they've had a lot of injuries, especially on the back line. They haven't totally figured out their attack either, even though they have a couple good forwards. So just a lot of questions about Mexico. That, so sure, if I'm playing this straight, I'm still taking Mexico to win the group. But I got plus 330 on Czechia. I like that. I don't mind plus 350 on South Korea either.
Okay, but the bet is Czechia plus 330 to win Group A from Paul. Group B, which is Canada's group, if you will. Canada on their home soil, but Switzerland is the favorite, minus 125, followed by Canada, and then Bosnia and Qatar. What do you got?
Yeah. All these groups that have a host nation, so the hosts were seeded along the other nine best teams in the world. So these groups are all more balanced. So yeah, you see Switzerland's actually the group favorite here. I like that even at a minus 125 price. Switzerland has made the knockout stage at three straight World Cups, and the only other teams to do that at the last three, if I remember correctly, are Argentina, Brazil, and France. So Switzerland is not that good, but they're a steady team. They've made the quarters at Euros the last couple times. They are what it's. Some, I love it when the stereotypes come through at tournaments like this. Like Switzerland is just like a steady clockwork type of team that's going to give you exactly what you think. Like it's a stereotype, and it's been absolutely true for the last 10 plus years. So they're just a steady, good, solid team. A good mid-tier European team. Canada's got some injury questions. Bosnia, you know, I say pretty low ceiling for them. And Qatar, you know, they couldn't get out of the group stage at home. And I don't think they're much better now. So Switzerland minus 125, I like to win this group.
Positive stereotypes that exist in the World
Cup. It's so great.
It reminds me of when my dad used to say some stuff. And I used to be like, you can't say it. Yeah, I was like, you can't say it. He goes, what do you mean? I'm saying something good about it. I was like, and my dad would be like, the Albanians, they build great walls. I'm like, really? Do you think they have something in there?
We do it in golf all the time, too. It's like, well, it's windy and rainy out. Let's look at some of the Scottish players and English players. I'm like, do you know how many rounds for sure that they've played in rain and wind?
Let's go to Group C, where it seems like everybody could agree that Scotland is third and Haiti is fourth. Okay, maybe not.
Ooh.
So this is my play here. I like Scotland to finish at the bottom. At the price. Look, plus 550 here. I played it at plus 700 a week or so ago, but anything north of 500, I like. So here's the gist of it. Brazil and Morocco are by far the best teams in the group. So we just assume they're going to beat Morocco or beat Scotland and beat Haiti. So it comes down to Haiti and Scotland, which is in the opener. It's in Boston, if I remember correctly. So we're rooting for like a blazing hot day where Haiti, you know, again, we're playing to stereotypes a little bit, but these are also true. And it's played out historically at World Cups. Teams from this region tend to do better in this region because in part they're used to the weather, et cetera. Haiti's like plus 185 on the double chance against Scotland here. If they win that game, then they're pretty much in the driver's seat to finish third. Even if it's a draw, then it just comes down to who cannot lose to Morocco and Brazil as badly. So I'd like Scotland to finish fourth in this group at least plus 550 or so.
All right. So Group A, Paul had Czechia to win at plus 330, Switzerland to win Group B at minus 125, Scotland, as he gave out last week, to finish last in Group C at 7-1. And then we get to Group D.
Real quick, Gil, just want to circle back on that, Paul, because I searched all over the place last week for like that 7-1 price on Scotland. Mm-hmm. Over 5-1, you're okay with anything over 5-1? Okay,
yeah. I didn't see the 7-1 this morning that I got last week. That's dropped down to plus 500 or plus 550.
Okay, good clarification. Group D, the United States. Tell me if you agree with this. No side is great here, but top to bottom, it's one of the better groups. And doesn't that suck for us?
Yeah. The positive way of looking at the group is there's no traditional power. There is nobody in here definitively better than the U.S. The downside is there is no terrible team here. I wouldn't say it's the most balanced group. This is the one where Australia is the fourth best team, and I think they're minus 110 to advance. So that's the downside. The U.S. has played all these teams in the last year, and all of them were one-goal games. You know, the U.S. beat Paraguay, they beat Australia, they lost to Turkey. So that kind of tells you there's not a ton of margin for error for better and worse in this group. So what I like the most here is Australia to finish at the bottom, plus 110. You might be able to find a little bit better price out there. Australia has the lowest ceiling for sure. They just don't have a lot of offensive firepower. Definitely not as much as Turkey, not as much as the U.S., not even as much as Paraguay, which is a little bit more of a defensive-minded squad on the whole. So I just don't think that Australia, they don't have the upside. So playing them to finish fourth, you know, wouldn't expect them to get a win. Maybe they grind out a draw or two. But again, it's a very balanced group. Australia did beat Argentina or gave Argentina trouble 4 years ago. So I like Australia to finish fourth, but the margin for error in this group is very slim all around.
So Australia to finish last in Group D is the play from Paul, plus 115. And remember, with the USA, all we have to do is be one of the eight best of the 12 third place teams, right? That's all that has to happen here.
If the U.S. doesn't get out of the group, tournament is an utter catastrophe, like utter catastrophe. They're like minus 750 to get out of the group or something like that. So, yeah, I think par for the U.S. in this tournament is to reach the round of 16. So that's get out of the group.
If
you finish first or second in the group, you should get a favorable knockout matchup. And then you get to the round of 16 and, you know, you're probably going to run into a better team there. But yeah, par is the round of 16. Don't get there. It's probably a disappointing tournament unless, you know, you get some weird round of 32 draw against a much better team and put up a good fight or something. But really, round of 16 is the par.
I like looking at it that way. Okay. We promised six groups. We've got two more to get to. Groups E and F, Paul's bets there. That's next on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back on Numbers Game, live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. Don't forget about our VSiN Early Bird Special. Full VSiN Pro access until the Super Bowl, $175. That's it. Daily best bets, betting splits, data, AI-powered prop projections, 24-7 video access, NFL betting guide also in there. That comes out June 22nd. That comes out in less than 3 weeks. Can you believe that?
We got homework due next week, bud.
Oh, you keep reminding me. Yeah. VSiN.com/subscribe for that full VSiN Pro Early Bird Special access until the Super Bowl. Check it out. Don't just check it out, but follow through. We get tweets beating the book. Dusty at DustyNoel7. Kelly Bidlin gets his crown package before Greg gets his Texas Roadhouse package. We need hoops to get his package ASAP.
Thank you, Crown Royal, for listening to the show and sending me whiskey after I said it was my favorite whiskey, which is it is.
I leave for my go-to. I leave for 1 second, and you got a Crown Royal sponsorship.
Let's not go that far just yet.
Just yet.
Hopefully.
Money Capper Letty. I just have to read this one tweet about our buddy Greg yesterday. We love Greg Peterson. Greg is such a nice kid. And we started something yesterday on the show, and it spiraled out on Twitter yesterday.
Yeah, go check his Twitter out.
But Money Capper Letty says, good Lord, could you imagine if she did need emergency care and Greg was a suspect? I didn't even thought about all that, right? Class act, he says. He is a class
act. Now you just had 900 more people be like, what did Gil just say? What is he talking about?
Stringfellow Hawk, Paul Carr's handicap of the Champions League match was spot on. Boom. I was 10 toes down on both plays, and Arsenal would have won 1-0 10 times out of 10. Nice job by Paul Carr.
You know what, Gil? I went over to this little website called yahoo.com.
Mm-hmm.
And today I see a big old article from one Paul Carr set titled The World Cup's Next Cinderella. 9 teams that could make a surprise run to the quarters.
Wow. We'll get to that momentarily. Brian M. Is the Kelly Bidlin strategy to betting international soccer the country he can find on the map faster instead of betting the team he has heard of versus the team he hasn't? Assuming Kelly knows the countries of the world. B Earl Nelson. Hmm. I like an initial and then two names. Earl Nelson. I'm riding with your confidence on Kostyuk. I took her to win the women's side, along with Zverev to win the men's in a parlay. I had a boost on FanDuel, so I got it at plus 1066. Let's go. And Super Jerk. You ready for this? Yeah, I'm on the edge of my seat in anticipation for the Haiti-Scotland game. Super Jerk. Super Jerk has
why doesn't he tweet at me anymore?
he forgot who you were.
He used to tweet at us separately. I don't get any tweets from him.
God. Torch D, the one who put this ad in your panties. This most certainly will not bite me in the tuchus. He says, bet one, parlay, men's chic to win at least one set, plus Knicks championship, plus 249. Or bet two, Victor Wembanyama, MVP, minus 175. It is possible to middle this, he says. Well, we'll see. Patrick Kelly, any reasonable reason why DraftKings has all the groups jumbled up in the to finish last. JIAGEBKCFLHD. That's how they list them, apparently. Ugh,
I don't know. I don't know, but if you're watching.
He said it's like they're trying to spell out Fakakta or something.
That's very, if you're watching.
Yeah.
On YouTube TV, reviewsit.com. Danny Higgins has done a great job of putting all the markets. We did group winner, yes, runner up to qualify and to finish dead last.
Absolutely great. Great job by Danny Higgins. Group winner, runner up to qualify from group and then to finish bottom. Four columns on each of these group graphics. Paul Carr joins us once again to discuss group C and F. But what about your Yahoo work? What are you doing over there, Paul?
We are writing all kinds of pieces, some betting, some not. The one you just mentioned, Kelly, was next Cinderella team. So we can get through. We've got a viewer's guide. So if you're a beginner and want to jump in, there's one just kind of, all right, what do I need to know here? If you want to do some sort of pick 'em game, talk through group winners and runners up for all the groups, who could go out early. There's some more coming, and we'll have, you know, once a week or so, some picks during the tournament as well. So keep me busy over there.
All right. Paul is the senior director. Can you flash that back again? Senior director of media. I never get to see it. Senior director of media enough. And what else at True Media and and business operations at True Media Networks. Thank you.
There we go. I don't know what that means, but yeah.
Yeah, that's what you do.
You bring in the money.
All right. Let's go to Group E in one of the biggest upsets of World Cup handicapping. Yeah. Paul is not taking Germany to win this group, as we've learned earlier. Remind us who you're taking.
I'm taking Ecuador at that price. They're plus 370 now. I have them plus 400. You might be able to find that out there somewhere still. This is one of the Cinderella teams I think can make a run. Ecuador gave up 5 goals in 18 games in CONMEBOL qualifying. That tied a record there. So they've got a really solid defense. And, you know, that's what you need a lot of times as a foundation to build on. So Germany is still good. They're still the group favorite, and rightfully so. But I don't think they have the high ceiling that they've typically had. Now, a lot of people said that in 2014 and they won the World Cup. So they'll probably make me look bad here. But I like Ecuador to win the group at that price, the plus 370 or plus 400 if you can find it.
Curaçao in their first ever World Cup. So Italy has to sit at home and watch sides like Curaçao play in the World Cup.
Yep. Yeah. Hey, they missed Italy's missed 3 World Cups in a row. And in the middle of that, they won a European championship. So I don't know what that means. But if you can't make a 48-team World Cup, then, you know, that's on you.
Ecuador to win Group E from Paul again at 4-1. All right, let's go to Group F. Maybe this is the best group from top to bottom. Netherlands are the favorite at minus 125. Japan, always frisky. Sweden, yeah. Tunisia. What do you got here?
I like this Japan team a lot. They have, 2 of their starters are injured and not here, but they still have a roster that's playing all over Europe. So 4 years ago, we'll flashback. 4 years ago, Japan was in a group with Spain and Germany. Japan beat both of them and won the group, and then went out to Croatia on penalties in the knockout stage. In the last year, Japan has beaten Brazil, and they've beaten England. These are just friendlies, but it's something. This Japan side, they are really fun to watch. They press high. They move quickly with and without the ball. This is not your stereotypical Asian team that's like finesse and whatever. Like, Japan will get after you physically, move quickly. So I like this Japan team a lot. I like them to win the group, plus 275 on the screen, plus 300s out there as well. Netherlands is a good team. I mean, they're, again, rightfully the group favorite, but Japan is not scared of these giants, and they could win this group, I think, again, more than four times that you need for this price.
All right, to review then, from Group A, Czechia to win Group A, plus 330. Switzerland to win Group B from Paul at minus 125. Scotland to finish last in Group C. Anything 5-1-ish is good. He got it at 7-1. Yep. Australia last in Group D at plus 115. Ecuador to win Group E at 4-1. And then Japan just now to win Group F at 3-1. We will do groups G, H, I, J, K, and L on Friday. By the way, do we have Paul's other bets from earlier in appearances as well? Again, this World Cup needs to happen or Paul's going to have 75 bets.
It might be too late already.
I'm going to ask Paul which he enjoys the most of these bets, but he's got France to win it all at plus 750. Ecuador, there's a couple of these that were crossover. So we already saw the Ecuador to win Group E, but Colombia to win Group K, portent of things to come on Friday, plus 250. Mm-hmm. Panama to advance, plus 225, his one and only to advance bet. Scotland to finish last, we went over today in Group C. And then Rapinha to win the Golden Boot at 33-1, and Mikel Oyarzabal to win the Golden Boot at 30-1. Are you feeling good about those Golden Boot bets still?
I am. The Orizaba one might be gone. He's down under minus or plus 2,000 now. So that one, I don't think I would play that at plus 1,800, wherever it is now. Rafinha is still in the 30-1 range. So I still like that. I mean, again, we're looking at the schedule here. Brazil's playing Haiti. They're playing Scotland. Those are two far worse teams and a big opportunity for Rafinha to rack up some goals in the group stage. Expected to take penalties as well. We always talk about that as important in these tournaments to pick up an extra couple of goals or so. So yeah, Rafinha is, you know, Vinny Jr. from Real Madrid is kind of maybe a little more of the star here, but Rafinha could easily pile up, you know, 2-3 goals against Haiti and or Scotland and then be in good shape once they hit the knockout stage.
I asked you this earlier. This has nothing to do with betting, but I'm just curious, where do the ticket prices stand? What's that whole culture looking like right now?
On the whole, they seem to be drifting down from, you know, it's just been kind of a mess the way FIFA has rolled this out because FIFA wants all the money. And so some of those high prices that we saw, you know, a month or two or three or six ago aren't quite there anymore. I mean, they're still expensive, but they're drifting down. So I suspect if you're kind of on the fence, you're probably going to be better off waiting. You know, maybe some of the marquee games won't drop much, but if you're on the fence about going to a game near you, I think the tickets will only continue to drop in the next few weeks.
Parlay, Jeff Parlay, producer number 5 and 8, the Grover Cleveland of producers, was telling us he applied, what was it, to like 8 different venues, something like that in the U.S., and he ended up getting one of them at SoFi.
And I was just trying to think of this. I don't remember the match he's going to.
Was it Paraguay and somebody?
I thought it was Switzerland, actually.
Oh, maybe. Maybe it was. Anyway, it was like he was hoping for
Switzerland, you know, Bosnia, maybe.
Oh, maybe that's it. Maybe he got Switzerland, maybe, Bosnia. Yeah. I think he got Switzerland, Bosnia. So yeah, he'll just fly. He just flies out of Vegas in the morning, goes to SoFi, flies back at night. Yeah. So anyway,
I get to go to some Kansas City games, including Ecuador Curaçao. So that's going to be a fun one.
Okay, Ecuador Curaçao. Throw out the records when those two countries
throw
play
them out.
Each
other. Lots of throw yellow in the stadium. Both yellow jerseys there.
Paul, I appreciate it very much. 9 days away, man. Try not to make more bets, okay? This is enough.
Yeah. Good luck with that.
Okay. Paul Carr, everybody. At Paul Carr on Twitter. And again, check out all his stuff at Yahoo. Mm-hmm. Betting, non-betting when it comes to the World Cup, including 9 Cinderellas that could make some noise. Thank you, Paul. Appreciate it.